options, there's no time for hesitations. Compile a list of tips. Get some friends together, cause together it's far better. Do get ready for the apocalypse.
Welcome to Mad Max Crawl, System Mastery's new actual play podcast. We are in a post-apocalyptic wasteland known as San Diego, and we're recording Gamma World.
Yeah, 7th edition Gamma World.
Yep, we've got that. We've mixed it up with some X-Crawl. We threw a little weird post-apocalyptic nonsense in there from the Mad Max universe.
I don't know why you're taking all the credit for this. We didn't do shit.
Oh,
All we did was sit on our fat asses while Patreon money raked in sweetly, like water across a Russian stream.
All we did was take back the idea that James D'Amato stole from us.
Oh my God, how many takes am I going to ruin by being mean to James D'Amato, known plagiarist,
known and sex pervert,
just sex gentleman.
James D'Amato, sex gentleman,
the sex gad about town.
He's a well-respected gad about town.
International sex playboy and gentleman.
So, we are going to start this up. We've got some special guests with us. I'm John. Over there was Jeff.
That's me.
And here we go. We've got our new game master for this. It's Quinn. You might know him from other podcasts.
Yeah, I've got a couple of those.
Please do take this opportunity to promote your work.
Yes, please pimp yourself out.
What are these plugs? I'm most well known for the Exalted 3rd Edition actual play, Swallows of the South, which I put on with a bunch of local San Diego improvisers. I'm also on the One Shot Podcast Network show, Tales from Thetis, soon to be released, as well as the Star Wars retrospective podcast, Red Eyes, White Saber, which I produce with Dan Enders.
Very nice, very nice. And we have a special guest player. Go ahead and let everyone know, do you do anything special?
Yeah, I'm Brad. I do nothing special.
Good.
I got nothing going on. I ain't like these guys.
We found a homeless guy on the street. We dragged him in here. He is ready to go.
Yeah
this is basically nepotism.
It's my nephew, Brad.
He's a good boy and he tries hard.
He's a good kid.
It was probably a good idea to not bring anyone in here who had expectations. So I think you made the right call. So far, he's already learned that it takes about 3 hours to record about 15 minutes of podcast material.
I am exhausted now.
Yeah. You want to kind of take a nap,
I've gotten one line out. Yeah. I'm ready for a nap.
Yeah, folks, if you think what we do is easy, you're right, but it involves a lot of time spent in Mexican restaurants.
So much time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of wind-up for that pitch.
So let's break down what this actually is. Because you hit the Patreon goal, that's you, listeners.
Yeah, we didn't hit a Patreon goal.
We didn't
you
do
did.
Anything. You did.
I
you
hit
did
it.
This. Yeah, it was just Quinn. Quinn did it.
And then I quit it.
And he won't admit it. Because the Patreon goal's been hit, we are going to be doing some actual play content, and we're going to start that with Gamma World 7th Edition, one of our favorite games we've ever covered on our own show.
Oh yeah, absolutely love it.
Yeah, but that's not enough for us, so we're going to mix in some post-apocalypse from Mad Max and from the X-Crawl game that I don't know how that got tied in there, because honestly, that game was boring, and I barely even remember it.
Well, it's probably because when we were reviewing it, we came up with the idea of Mad Max Crawl.
That sounds about right, so there we go. So what we're going to be doing today, anyway, is getting started by making characters. And let me tell you, that's because in this game, making characters is far and away the best part.
I love making characters in this because you get the weirdest crap possible, and then you have to make it work somehow.
Yeah, so if you think just a character creation session will be boring, let me assure you, you're going to be fine. This is going to be us trying to make ridiculous characters and then having to come up with how they are a team with a theme.
Yeah, we got to get a theme team.
We sure do.
Putting a skosh of the Warriors into this.
Just a little dollop of Warriors.
Now, if you're looking for what we've got to run Gamma World 7th Edition, like if you want to follow along at home, I have a complete set of everything, all the cards, all the books. So we're going to be using the full Legion of Gold and Famine in Fargo expansions for character creation. So I'm assuming that how we'll do this is Quinn's got the Legion of Gold there. He'll probably be asking four roles from each of us, and once he gets those roles, he'll tell us what the hell we are.
I mean, if character creation's the best part and I'm the game master, I thought that I would just have the choice of being able to sit out this one.
No.
No, we want to keep you involved.
God damn you.
Yeah. So let's just go around the table. Looks like we're going to start with Brad.
Yeah. So cool. We're going to start this, as we always do, with a roll of the 12-sided die.
As always.
The most famous.
Yeah, the most important of all dice.
Also known as a D12.
Yeah.
For you normies.
Or a numbered dodecahedron.
So that's going to be a 2.
All right. So you dice heads out there will know that a 2 means that he's going to be rolling.
Is the loneliest number since the number 1.
That is correct. It does mean that he will be rolling his origin from the Gamma World role-playing game.
All right, main book, and we're going to get a D20 for what you are from that book.
Yep.
That's a 20.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. That means...
I'm the best of the things.
You are the world's greatest microphone, the Yeti.
All right, so half of you is Yeti.
So the first half of you is Yeti.
The first half of you is Yeti. Go ahead and roll that D12 again to see what your second origin is.
It's going to be a 5.
That's also from the Gamma World, so roll that D20 again.
Keep it in the family. That's a 7.
So you are a giant Yeti.
Well, yes. Specifically, a Yeti giant.
I'm sorry, yes, you are a Yeti giant.
Not a giant Yeti, a Yeti giant.
That
very
is a difference.
Different
There's
things,
a
yeah.
clear distinction.
There are very clear distinctions.
So you go ahead, write that down, figure out what that actually means for your character, and we'll go ahead with ours. Jeff.
Right. I've got an 8. On a D12 roll.
That means you'll be rolling off of the Famine in Fargo list. So,
also, a 20.
Yes, you dice heads out there will know that that's a D20.
I'm sorry, I rolled a 20.
Oh, god damn you. You are wheeled.
Wheeled.
Yes. All right, so some sort of car man.
Yes, a carvore.
11?
That means you'll be rolling from the Legion of Gold, so go ahead and roll a D8.
Oh, God.
Please, vampire. Please, vampire.
3.
Octopoid.
Yes.
Oh, shit, I'm Creech from that fucking Monster Trucks
oh,
movie.
God.
I was going to say, you're just the slave barge guy on the front of Rifts.
I am Octo Truck.
That's good.
No, I'm going to go with Tructopus.
Tructopus.
All right. And final one to go, my first roll is a 7 on the 12.
So a 7 is going to mean you're going to be rolling out of the Famine in Fargo book.
All right.
So roll a d20, please.
12.
So a 12 means that you're a nightmare.
I am a nightmare.
Yeah, John is an actual
it's
nightmare.
True. It's true.
It's true. I am definitely created
So you're at least part psychic. Oh my gosh.
All right. And 1. So from the main book.
Main book.
Oh, this might not help you.
And a 1.
Wow,
an
2
androids.
Android.
An android nightmare? A nightmare android, I'm sorry.
Nightmare android. Yes.
Nightmare android.
Dude, be a white noise machine.
Dude, I am the spookiest guy. I'm like, beep, boop, get spooked.
Beep, boop, Babadook.
I'm the Boopadook.
The Boopadook.
All right, so.
The Poltergeist.
We are going to take a second to get all the information down with for that. We will be right back with some actual fully-fledged characters.
Back, a dinosaur story. Okay, so I think what we're going to do at this point is go around the room and introduce each one of the characters.
Yep.
And describe them and fondle them.
Just loving detail.
Love them, give them hugs and kisses. So we're going to get started on that. John, you want to take us out?
Sure thing. So I rolled up a nightmare primary and secondary was an android.
Yes, so you're a nightmare bot.
Yep. So what I decided was I am a walking barely, because I also rolled a 6 for my dexterity, robot that has a TV head that projects the movies directly into you. He was a VR movie projection system right before the apocalypse.
Now, are we, do you think, guys, think we should be able to just ask questions in the middle of this?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Can you also watch the TVs on, or the movies on his face while he's projecting them? Okay, so he's a functional TV that also beams things into
your head. Yes, he's got a screen, but he also has a VR projection system.
Okay.
That if he can line it up with someone's eyes, projects directly into them.
Okay.
So,
but you need that line of sight.
Oh, you need
I'm taking notes.
Oh, I need that line of sight.
Also, I'm going to lawyer the hell out of this, from what I understand.
Good. I'm glad you're going to help to minimize how overpowered my nightmare bot is.
Yeah. I'm not, guys. I'm a bad game master.
Like,
yeah, okay. So he's got that. His name then is Oculus Vive. It's two different VR headsets. The Oculus and the Vive.
No, it's the Oculus Vibe.
I like the Oculus part because that's fucking scary sounding. That's
Oculus Vive.
Yeah,
he basically sounds like a Transformer.
No, he does. He kind of sounds like an evil wizard.
No, man, Oculus Vive would definitely transform and roll out.
Oh, I can see that too. That makes sense. Like turns into a tape deck or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I play an Aha song.
So yeah, he's got that, and I got a couple weird little powers to go along with it. One is Fear Manifested.
Okay.
Is my main nightmare power, which is a ranged ability that does some psychic damage, attacks someone's will, and if it hits, they grant combat advantage and are at -2 to attack. So basically, it means if I hit someone with my main power, it's easier for us to hit them and harder for them to hit us.
That's a really good power.
Follow up question, do you have any abilities that specifically target somebody's grace?
No.
Damn.
I do have one that targets reflex. That's like grace,
I suppose. So you attack will and grace.
Yes, he attacks will and grace.
Not me. I have to choose a Dharma or a Greg. This power sucks.
Damn it. His other one is machine grip from being an android.
Uh-huh.
And that means he can, as a melee attack, hit someone and then they are immobilized unless he moves away. So he can just hold on to someone and keep him there.
He's got like the Vulcan neck grip.
Yeah, well, he's just got an open VCR slot that he'll grab people with.
That's what it is.
Well, he also has a ranged weapon, and it's just he shoots DVDs and Blu-rays and VHS tapes out of it at people.
I was kind of hoping that the robo grip would just be like that he has a claw hand from one of those claw games at a state fair or something.
I'm going to put you in me for the VR experience.
Oh, yeah. He just grabs someone and says, "Welcome to the new flesh." He gets real creepy and James Woodsy about it.
He's just always creepy. Were there other robots like you that played other kinds of TV shows?
Oh, well, the thing is, you could have loaded him up with anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when the apocalypse happened, he was loaded to bear with all horror movies.
So this is the owner's fault then?
Yes,
right?
This is... Okay. Like, normally, they wouldn't... He gained a sentience, but he was loaded with horror movies, so he went a little kooky because of that.
He woke up horrified at himself, right?
Oh, yeah. This is the lens through which he sees the world.
So does that mean he's kind of like the Seth Green character in the first Scream movie?
Yes, he is. He's very screamy.
So he's just kind of, he's always telling us the rules of horror movies?
Well, yes. And the way he tells you that is by playing clips from Scream.
This fits in way too well with what I have planned for the first thing. So.
As you can see, you can easily have your back boat broken by a garage door.
Let me show you.
Or Bane.
Ah, you merely adopted the darkness. I was born in it. Why is this in my horror movie repertoire?
Because it wasn't very good.
Yeah. They're like all horror movies. Also, we threw this in there because Dark Knight Rises was pretty
bad.
Wait,
a little girl escaped? That cheapens my whole thing.
Alfred. At a tea shop in Paris. Bullshit.
So yeah, Oculus Vive is rad. I rolled pretty decently, but both of his base people have intelligence as their stat. So I start with a 20.
So 20 intelligence.
Yeah, I'm super duper intelligent. I've got a good...
brain. Pan.
Yeah, I've got
think box.
I've got a good grip on science and mechanics and stuff like that. So
horror is a science.
Yeah, it is. It's more a science than an art. So yeah, that is Oculus Vive.
All right, great. And then let's move over to Brad. What you got?
All right, so my primary was Yeti, secondary was Giant. So where I took that was to a 8-foot-tall trash squirrel, who was mutated after the apocalypse while in a dumpster. So he's incredibly strong and much larger than like a, he's about like an SUV size squirrel now.
That's mm-hmm. a big squirrel.
Yeah, he's a pretty big squirrel.
Larger than your average squirrel.
Yeah, larger now, than the average.
So is he like sentient and like communicative and what have you?
Yeah, I mean like to a point, he's not the most smart smart being. Like he knows how to get around and hit things now, but mm-hmm. that's about where it stops. Like, he ain't really one for the sciences.
All right.
Intelligence is one of his better statistics.
Which is sad, yeah. He's incredibly strong. One of his worst ones, I rolled a 7 on constitution, which means aww. He's pretty sickly inside. I think the trash had something to do with that. So
well, you know, carrying that bubonic plague
or
whatever.
Yeah, he's constantly, he's just real sickly.
I'll give you pink eye.
He's like a rat almost now, but yeah.
So just to clarify here, does he speak English?
Yes. Okay. Limited.
Limited English.
But like he's got it.
But mostly like squirrel and trash related concepts.
Yeah, pretty much. Like his world was trash. So yeah. It's not like he suddenly gained an understanding of the world when the apocalypse hit.
Man, that is exactly like me.
Understand certain euphemisms or is aware of certain euphemisms but doesn't know how to use them correctly. Like he assumes that busting a nut means something completely different.
Completely different.
Yeah, it means having some corn nuts.
Yeah. So he's got some powers. The first being Brick Bat. It's basically, you hit things real hard. It does knock an enemy prone when it lands, which is, I'm going to assume that's good for us.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, that's really good. It causes them to sacrifice their movement next turn to get up. So
plus, we'll have combat advantage.
Yeah, you have combat advantage on them when they're knocked down. So it's very solid.
Yeah, he's just happy to see him fall.
Yeah, absolutely.
And followed up by Big Claws, which, believe it or not, uses his claws.
Yeah, weird.
Weird, right? Like his disease-ridden claws. And that will slow the target until the next turn.
All right.
I'm going to knock you down and I'm going to make you slow.
So you're sticky. You can keep people near you then.
Yeah.
Yes, which
yeah.
is good because you're also kind of the bruiser of the party. That does that lines up nicely.
I don't know how well I can take a hit, but I can keep them close to me in my disgusting trash squirrel
They'll
ways.
Get knocked down. They won't get up again.
They won't get up again. No, they'll stay there slowly in my disgusting sludge fur.
Good.
All right. So let's see, my character, and just to give you the basic rundown of how Gamma World works, every universe in the world suddenly simultaneously coexisted. So all of the possible existences that ever came into existence and every parallel universe crashed into a single one, killing 99% of everything. In my character's case, in one of those many thousands of parallel universes, there was a great elder Cthulhu god that was just about to take over power when the crash occurred and forced his body into a small dune buggy looking tank thing from a family fun center.
Good.
Basically a bumper tank.
Yeah, and in this reality, family fun centers still exist.
Yes, and it isn't called Boomers or something. You know what? In my universe, the entire world crashed in 1986.
Good.
So it's fine. Yeah. So he's a giant chthonic monster completely stuffed into a tiny little tank with a tennis ball cannon on top.
Okay. Did he possess it, or is his body actually physically inside?
No, he's literally stuck in there.
Okay,
he's a ball of tentacles and eyes that has accidentally been stuffed entirely into a tiny little tank.
Good.
It's inadvisable to open the doors. All right, so that's because I rolled as my primary Wield, and as my secondary Octopoid, which means that my character has a Constitution from the Wield of 18 and a Dexterity from the intelligence from the Octopoid of 16. And then just to make things, you know, fun, he also rolled another 18 in his 3d6 drop-down list.
Nice.
So his charisma is 18. So he's a really likable,
he's a well-rounded
small
boy.
Children's tank toy.
What a nice guy.
With a god with a gross monster stuck in it.
Why won't anybody date him?
Oh no, he's phenomenal. He's very easy to get along with. He's very insidious. And he is constantly promising to conquer all of humanity and take over this world as soon as we're done taking over this small
arena. Oh, and speaking of insidious,
yeah.
I'm showing that right now on my face.
Man, when's Ravenous on? I like that better.
He was licking me.
Oh my god, Phantasm is there. You can actually say, you play a good Game Boy.
I do play a good Game Boy. It's got like little 3D graphics and everything. So I have a couple of powers to go through here. Let's see. First of all, I have a maximum overdrive. I mean,
James Patterson.
Yes, by James. Isn't that a Stephen King book? Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about maximum override.
It's also the only theatrical movie he's directed.
Yeah, because he was high as shit on cocaine for that entire thing. He doesn't remember that movie.
We all were.
I mean, so, Emilio Estevez was in it, though. So
to give you the basics here, Maximum Overdrive lets me shift two squares before attacking, and on a successful hit, all the enemies that are hit by it, which is, you know, one, because it's a melee ability, the enemy hit by it takes a minus two to attack me or any of my allies until the end of its next turn.
Cool.
So it's a solid tank ability that makes it so that enemies are worse at hitting me, and it gives me a little upfront mobility because I can make a free shift. As a wheeled creature, I am also immune to dangerous or difficult terrain, so I move at full speed across any type of terrain, and I get a plus one bonus to speed, which I have immediately wasted by buying heavy armor.
Good.
And then for my second primary power, I got Long Arm of the Sea, which apparently when they did the monster for this one, it's straight up just Davy Jones was the idea behind the Octopoid. It's just to play a dude with a squid face. So Long Arm of the Sea is an intelligence ability that has a melee 3 range, so it's anywhere within 3 squares of him, and interestingly can attack 1 or 2 creatures.
Huh. Okay, well, question then.
Yeah?
In the context of the world that your character has come from, is there Chuck E. Cheese just called Davy Jones?
Yes, I'm sure it is. Now, this guy's from their Family Fun Center equivalent, which is probably called like Family Game Town, and that's what he's got going on. They can attack 1 or 2 monsters at a melee 3 range. It's really, really inaccurate. But that's because he can attack more than one thing at once with it. Targets who are hit with it are restrained, and that's a save ends ability. If they fail a save, they switch from being restrained to being dazed, and if they fail again, they fall unconscious.
Wow.
Yeah, failing two saves in a row, though, is really unlikely. So but it's okay. It's pretty solid. He has 30 hit points, which makes him kind of the party tank, which is, you know, lucky.
How beefy?
Oh, he's very beefy. With a constitution of 18 and 30 HP, he is definitely sort of the party tank.
Those good. Chunks yeah. of marbled beef.
Yeah.
Chunks of Marvel beef.
Yes, Marvel beef. I'm talking about Thor. I'm talking about Captain America.
I'm having a lot of trouble reconciling the fact that he carries a sword and shield. I'm still trying to work. The sword's got to be something different than a sword, but the shield by in and of itself makes no sense to me because he's like, I just tentacles coming out of a tank. I guess
not just the body then.
Like it's maybe yeah, cow catcher, buddy. It's a cow catcher on the front. Oh, he's just got a garbage can lid that he's just slogging around with him. I'm bringing spare parts for my tank.
A tentacle holding a garbage can lid constantly on the tank.
Just sticking out of the side with a garbage can lid. Yeah.
Woohoo!
Anyone need a garbage can lid? People keep shooting at it. I don't know why. All right, so there you go. That's Yugo Nylartho tank. So that's us. That is a mess.
Sweet.
That is a hot mess of ridiculous characters. So
that's three people that have nothing to do with each other.
No, I think we can figure this out. Yeah. I think we can solve this, guys.
Now it's time for that Warriors twist.
How are we a gang?
I'm going to go...
And what is your theme?
Yeah. I'm going to throw a hat in the ring on this and suggest that we are all people that were present at a county fair when the crash happened, or that all of our origins started in a county fair.
They got some good dumpster food at county fairs.
There's gross, weird dumpster food. Yeah. There's crazy products of the future.
Yeah.
So that gives you your robo. And then my character, of course, is a bumper tank, so he would be simply a ride.
Yeah, there you go.
So I think it's all county fair things or... You know, local family fun center type things.
It's almost too easy.
It's almost too easy. Granted, county fair is kind of a broad topic. You could probably use it to sell anything.
Yes, but it opens up very easily the gang name of the All American Rejects.
I don't know what to do with the gang name yet. What do you think?
Yeah, we're fair play.
Also, Mr. Terrific will be joining us
for County Crows.
We're Carnival. We're Ooh, that video
yeah,
game.
We're that one video game, Carnival.
The World's Scare.
The 1958 World's Scare. Let's see. Man, I have no idea what to do for the team name if we're doing a fair thing.
Carnies.
We just gave you a bunch of hot, hot chunks.
Just these hot takes.
Take these nugs.
All of you.
It's dangerous to go alone.
Take these nugs.
This is my body given for you. Midway Mashers. How about that?
I'm on board.
Yeah. All right. That's good.
Yeah, it sounds like the sort of dumb thing that a team would name it. It's like a Warriors name.
Exactly. Yeah. The Midway Mashers is definitely something you would get.
It's only the sort of starting good name for a team. Like, you know, it's like the Fighting Mongooses or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very X-Crawl.
You'll level up from there. Also, we are in San Diego and the home of the USS Midway.
Oh there it is.
Famous we're for mashing.
We mashed it.
We mashed it. We mashed it real good.
Yeah, we went in there with some potatoes.
Just slop squash, the place right up.
Oh, I was making out with it. I forget. I don't know what era of MASH you guys were talking about.
The 70s?
Yeah.
So
Hawkeye, Radio Man.
You kept switching between comedy and
Maudlin. I don't know anything about MASH, the TV show, except Radar. Hawkeye.
Yeah, there's Hawkeye, there's...
Radar, Lips,
Sexy Doctor.
Come on,
the bar
man.
Guy, right?
There's the Suicide is Painless.
Suicide Squad, Slipknot, the man who can climb anything.
Can he be on our team, please? Just voiceover.
We can definitely have him on our team. He'll just go out the same way.
My thought was to start this with one of your teammates dead on your transport, so good. It kind of works.
Good, great.
He rolled... What was his primary power? Dude. Secondary? Can climb anything. He's the dude who can climb anything.
That's Slipknot. The dude who can climb anything. Thank you, voiceover.
Watch out for snakes. And men who can climb anything.
I always watch out for men who can climb anything. I'm on the lookout for him, if you know what I mean.
Oh, man. That character. That movie.
So, we've got characters, we've got a team.
Now we got to start working on costume and stuff, because we can't just have a theme without actually playing to it.
Yes, you must take these base concepts you have delivered to me, and, in the words of Tim Gunn, make them work.
Thank you, Tim Gunn.
We've got a carnival theme, and the carnival theme this year is The West Was Fun.
There's billboards with a pig with a cowboy hat and a mustache.
That's fun.
I'm not sure if it's cute or horrifying.
It's delicious. Huh? Tasty pig.
I'm going to eat that pig's mustache.
They should also put an apple in its mouth and then cook it and then give it to me.
Yeah, deep fry that pig's mustache.
Yeah. Deep fry that pig mustache.
TM Quinn Wilson, sex act.
Just at this fair. This year at the crunchy part of the fair, whatever the fuck that place
is
called.
The crunchy part
of the fair.
You know,
yeah,
where the
all
waves
of the
are.
Fair, yeah.
The crunchy part of the fair.
You know, you're walking around, and then all of a sudden, underfoot, you hear, grush, grush. You're like, oh, I'm at the crunchy part.
You hit the crunchy part of the fair right now.
I wanna,
so many brittle bones.
I was trying to remember the phrase
fried butter everywhere.
Good.
I was trying to remember Chicken Charlie's, and it came into my head. This is the crunchy
area.
The
crunchy part of the fair.
The crunchiest
AKA
area.
A.K.A. Chicken Charlie's, a.k.a. the dead zone.
Fucking Chicken Charlie's. Every year, it's a disappointment. We've got deep-fried Kool-Aid.
No, you don't.
No, you have fucking hush puppies that are purple for some reason. You have failed us. You have failed this city.
And then I shoot him with an arrow.
Also, now we have that fucking Chicken Charlie's restaurant here in San Diego.
Yeah, we have a permanent Chicken Charlie's.
Fuck off, Chicken Charlie.
Yeah,
this is
like
our
the only
town.
One, too. Like, oh, my God. It's like they're supposed to be... They travel with that fare all over California. They're delivering their gross fried nonsense. But here in San Diego, they're here all the time.
We didn't ask for you.
No, and John and I have tried that place. And it is just sadness.
You go in there, you get just a tiny heaping helping of
brown,
some sort of chicken in a thing,
some hot brown,
slop one, slop two,
yeah,
crunch on
the
top.
Crunchy part of the fair.
Put syrup on whatever this is. You're in the crunchy part of this restaurant.
Ugh.
That's what the kids play in the restaurant. They have the little crunchy.
Yeah,
zone.
The playpen.
Yeah, it's the crunchy playpen.
The crunch pit.
The crunch pit. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. Oh, all right. So team theme.
Team theme. The crunch. Well, we got to look county fair themed.
Yeah, we do. So we each got to pick a thing. Now,
everyone's wearing flannel crop tops.
There it is. Yeah. I think we each pick a part of the fair that has nothing to do with our character. Like, for example, for as much as my character is clearly from the ride zone area of the fair, being a bumper tank, I'm going to go ahead and say that he's also
got a goat on him.
He's themed after the first place ribbon for high school yearbooks.
I think we should all have first place ribbons.
Oh my God, we should have first place ribbons.
You each have a different blue ribbon.
Yeah.
Yay.
Ooh, best tank with a thing in it.
Most terrifying nightmare.
Yeah.
These are completely accidental.
Who knew?
I had to take this from something horrifying.
Trash squirrel.
I just want to be wearing a number one ribbon that just says like best preserves and jellies.
Good.
that's gonna be on me.
I want to have a little sign that says inquire within for rates. And then I want that like the county fair, like those pictures that they've got where it's like, oh, here's that pig with a mustache and all that. But I want the paint to have run and rusted, and it just sort of looks like a terrifying Silent Hill dystopia on there.
See, I think the best part about this is that having the county fair theme is going to set us up for what our weapons are. Because one of the cool things about Gamma World is your weapons are just heavy two-handed or light one-handed or something. They're very simple descriptions so that you can make up what they are in your post-apocalypse future. So, for example, while you were having difficulty earlier, Brad, thinking about what a giant squirrel would wield, I think now we all know that it's the shredded remains of a Footsie Wootsie machine.
Yeah, it's got to be, right? Yeah,
just always on.
Do some real damage with those things.
Yeah,
yeah. You've got a vibro weapon. You're doing mega damage.
No one wants to get hit with that.
Got to keep them close to hit them with it.
Yeah, you lock them down with the Footsie Wootsie.
They're like, I don't even want to move from this thing.
Ooh, I'm so relaxed.
My feet kind of hurt more now, though. It's weird.
That is the worst part about those Footsie Wootsie machines, isn't it?
They get your calves.
There's a brief moment when you step off and when you're like, man, none of the soft parts of my foot work now.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You feel the tenderoni.
Yeah, I'm just walking on two boards.
Yeah.
Like a pots and pans robot trying to walk around when I get off one of those.
Yeah.
You will fall. You will humble yourself before the Footsie Wootsie.
You vibrate a good foot, boy.
But now you fall.
Yep.
All right, so I guess that's it. We have a bunch of fair-themed stuff happening.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Beautificent.
Great.
That's a blue ribbon word if I ever heard one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait,
blue
no,
too.
We don't have the ribbon for the squirrel.
The roasted nut.
Oh,
yeah.
Roasted nuts?
Yeah, roasted nuts, clearly.
All right.
Like the offshoot vendor on the side of the
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're just wearing a like hot dog on a stick hat?
Yeah. Whatever I could cobble together.
All of your ranged weapons are just like fried spaghetti on a stick.
I just use one of those big meat grills from like
Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got one of them grills where they normally have all the like corn and turkey legs
yeah,
on.
Yeah. I just use like the old fat from that and turn it into my roasted nuts.
My roasted nuts.
Also the name of the vendor, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically you were just found in the giant pit of horrible food garbage behind a county fair.
Yeah, and then I wandered in.
Yeah, you've just been following the fair. Just
of course, yeah.
Just hop in a truck and follow. I guess also this fair is also carrying its garbage
grease trail? Yeah, I follow that.
Well, I mean, it's like when you're a beggar and you don't want to put out a hat that's got nothing in it, so you seed it a little. It's the same thing with garbage at a county fair. So you've got to leave a little in there.
It's just seeded garbage squirrel.
Yeah.
He's just been going from town to town, sampling the weird radioactive foods of every city.
Yeah.
Well, see, it's like when you take soil samples. You got to get down to that base level of the sediment.
Got that core sample of trash.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he just has vials of core samples from different trash bins around his belt.
I would say I keep them in my matted fur at this point.
Just
yeah.
Obviously. At different
They're
random
just
points.
In there, yeah.
You just pull in.
With the other squirrels.
There's about a 1 in 20 chance that when struck, a vial of trash core will shatter.
Trash core is my favorite.
Oh, dude,
music.
Is trash core one of our enemy teams?
Probably.
I mean, I'm not going to say no.
It has to exist, right?
And it's all villains that are trash themed. So you have that weird Ninja Turtle who no one can remember the name of. Remember that action figure that's just made of trash and one of his feet's a sewer grate?
Oh, yeah. Shredder.
the Shredder, of course. Oh, how could I forget the name of that very obscure Ninja
Turtle? He's very obscure,
character.
But his name is Shredder.
Yeah. He hung around with that other super obscure guy.
Krong.
Krong.
Krong, yeah. And,
Kronk.
Yeah,
Victor Krum.
Yeah, Victor Krum and the Shredder.
And Bechdel Stockton. Yeah, I'm up to speed with you guys. Yeah, I'm
perfect.
I've got this. And that leaves us with just one thing left to do today before the adventure begins, and that is pass it over to Quinn to set the scene so that by the time we come back next time, we'll actually be playing this game. Folks, we don't know how to do APs. We're not the one-shot podcast. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, we're just on the network.
Yeah, we're just on their network, screwing it up.
Yeah.
Farting everywhere.
That's all we do.
Yeah.
Hey, so, I'm in two networks gunking them up, and I still don't know what the hell I'm doing.
So Quinn, please explain to us where these ridiculous caricatures of PCs find themselves.
Okay. We start in complete darkness. We can hear a low, rhythmic clunking and tapping. Slowly, our camera pans up, and we find ourselves in a dirty, grimy backseat of a truck. It's very large, such as to accommodate the enormity of most of you. a blood stain lies on the floor, at the head of which lies a crumpled figure. The last of the Midway Mashers. You're going to be understaffed for this particular encounter. Who lies in front of you?
Oh, I think that's, it's definitely Slipknot.
The man who can climb anything?
Climb anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was our guy who was always climbing stuff.
He was the real heart of the team. No one was more sad than all three of us when Slipknot unexpectedly passed away.
He was my mentor of the trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He taught me to swim.
Hey, he can climb anything.
I was going to introduce him to my sister.
Even the ocean waves.
And then she was going to eat him.
My sister eats everything.
Well, my sister's either another stupid little kid's tank or a big monster. I mean, it's one of those.
So, we see Slipknot. We see the three of you. And there is a large jolt in this truck. And the back of it starts to roll open. You see what looks to be a large arena past the jack of this truck, which is speeding rapidly over the desert plains. There is an array of screens ahead of you, across from this large circular arena into which you are pouring. Lights come on to this mishmash of screens built from different technologies. The mosaic visage of a skeletal man with a wispy horseshoe haircut appears.
Welcome, boys and ghouls!
And that's where I'm going to leave you guys.
Excellent. We'll see you next time on Gamma, Mad Max Gamma X Crawl, whatever.
Mad X Crawl Gamma.
Mad Gramma Jamma Grass.
Yeah, on the Mad Gramma Jammas.
She's a bad Gramma Jamma.
Well, can't we just call it the Midway Mashers now?
Maybe.
We could.
But then you can't use X Don't Give It To You as your theme song.
I don't know. I think we might be able to figure that out.
Straight off worth it.
Yeah, I don't think we've earned a theme song yet either. We got to kill some guys for a theme song.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just going to let these episodes go in and out with darkness and silence.
No intro, no outro. We'll just do the fade in. It'll be all classy.
Yeah, we'll have a like Moonlight Sonata going in the background.
Claire de Lune.
Just fade in. People are talking. Iris in on one of them. Is it Woody Allen? Yes, it is.
Exterior. Douchebags.
Man, at least it's not interior douchebags.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it is a building called Douchebags.
Oh, okay.
That's the store.
Douchebags.
Exterior. Douchebags.
Interior. Douchebags, a.k.a. the Property Brothers.
All right, folks, we'll see you whenever we get together to record the next episode of whatever the fuck we're calling this. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jeff. That's John.
Hi.
That's Quinn over there. Thank you, Quinn.
You're very welcome.
And thank you again, Brad, for joining us.
You're absolutely welcome.
Good night.
You better make some preparations. There's no time.